Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in the public media spectrum across the region, bringing you the latest headlines of the day. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It is the 10th of March, a Tuesday. Wyoming's governor Monday signed a ban on abortion after cardiac activity can be detected in the embryo. That's usually about 6 weeks into pregnancy and often before women realize they're pregnant. The law makes Wyoming the fifth state with such a ban, while 13 more bar abortion at all stages of pregnancy, with some exceptions. Republican Governor Mark Gordon signed the law, but says he has personal misgivings about it. The governor favors exceptions for abortions in pregnancies caused by rape or incest. He also warned that the new law will lead to more litigation. The state's top court has already struck down another abortion ban. Already on Monday, Julie Burkhart, president of Wellspring Health Access, the state's only clinic offering both abortion procedures and abortion by medication, said in a statement that she was prepared to challenge the new ban in court. An elementary school near Great Falls lost a portion of its roof on Sunday after severe wind battered the region. Montana Public Radio's Victoria Traxler has more.
Lincoln Elementary School canceled classes for at least 2 days this week as it assesses the damage. Wind gusts of up to 60 miles per hour tore through the region, ripping off a large piece of the school's roof. The incident comes ahead of more anticipated windstorms this week. The National Weather Service issued high wind warnings for western Montana and the Rocky Mountain Front. Forecasted winds will reach over 70 miles per hour. Great Falls Public Schools spokesperson Luke Decon says the race is on to prepare the damaged school.
We have our whole crew of buildings and grounds guys out there really dedicated to making sure we get this taken care of, if not today, by midday tomorrow.
The school hosts about 350 students. Some grades will resume classes in their partially open building while others are being temporarily relocated. Montana is still reeling from its last round of windstorms. Governor Greg Gianforte requested federal financial assistance of about $16 million to help cover costs of recovery. Montana Disaster and Emergency Services says they have not yet received those funds. Lincoln Elementary School officials will host an information session for parents Tuesday evening. More information can be found at the Great Falls Public School website. In Missoula, I'm Victoria Traxler.
The state has successfully defended a law that allows insurance companies to consider gender and marital status when setting rates for Montanans. The law repealed a decades-old ban on the practice. State Auditor James Brown applauded the Lewis and Clark District Court's decision to dismiss a 2021 lawsuit challenging the law. Brown says the policy lowered costs for some Montanans by allowing insurance companies to adjust rates based on gender and marital status. Three plaintiffs in the Montana chapter of the National Organization for Women filed suit, arguing that amounts to unconstitutional discrimination. The court disagreed. Judge Mike Menahan wrote, "The Constitution allows a law to target a specific class of people if it's relevant to the law's purpose, and all people in that class are treated equally." Montana State University students are speaking out about the U.S. attacks on Iran, joining humanitarian advocates in highlighting the danger to civilians. Laura Hatch with Big Sky Connection has the details.
Several MSU student groups led protests in Bozeman after the initial strikes on February 28th. Julian Staggs, president of Students for a Democratic Society, says they'll keep protesting.
The actions in Iran are blatantly illegal under international law and have already led to the deaths of over 1,000 civilians in Iran. There is no justification for the conflict.
A global humanitarian group is pleading with governments and military forces to make preserving human life their top priority. Anna Zaros with Nonviolent Peace Force says her group's head of mission in northern Iraq describes the civilian impact there, with people afraid to go to work or school or even sleep through the night. President Donald Trump has said the attacks were launched to keep keep Iran from developing nuclear weapons. The U.S. House and Senate have blocked efforts that would have required congressional approval for further military action in Iran. Zaros warns that because of the Trump administration's deep budget cuts to the U.S. Agency for International Development, it will be harder for war-torn villages and cities to recover.
War causes an explosion of and worsening of need. We're talking about food, sanitation, civilian protection.
Stagg says, along with ending the Iran attacks, his group wants Montana State University to cut ties with companies involved in military research. Stagg says the companies are using MSU's Innovation Campus, operated by the MSU Alumni Foundation and Charter Realty, to develop military surveillance technologies used domestically and overseas.
It's our public land-grant university that is connected to it. This university receives public funds. It's a university that's supposed to serve the people of Montana, not supposed to be oppressing the people of other countries.
Stagg says the MSU administration has told his group that, since the companies are private, the university has no control over their work. I'm Laura Hatch, Big Sky Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Montana's top health official pushed back on allegations that a new mental health facility will harm Laurel residents' quality of life. Residents have questioned the facility since it was proposed late last year. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton has more.
Locals and the Laurel City Council have accused the state of not being transparent in its decision to build a 32-bed psychiatric facility for criminal defendants outside of city limits. The city council is considering a moratorium on annexation that could prevent the building from accessing city water and sewer. State Health Department Director Charlie Brereton told lawmakers this week that pushback is overblown.
There's a lot of misinformation swirling throughout the state and in the Laurel community surrounding the facility, the population that it will serve, the impact that it will have on Laurel and on Yellowstone County.
Brereton and Board of Investments Director Dan Villa said the concerns over declining property values, building security, and impact on city infrastructure are all unfounded. Both gave no indication the state was backing away from the project and re-emphasized the need for a forensic mental health facility. Inmates mentally unfit to stand trial can languish in jail for months while waiting for treatment. In Columbia Falls, I'm Aaron Bolton.
More than 100 Missoula scientists and activists gathered this weekend to demonstrate against political interference in science. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amistoy reports.
For those of us who have kids, or those of us who survived childhood and appreciate that we did not get polio or smallpox or measles, I'd like you to say, stand up for science.
Stand up for science!
That refrain, stand up for science, echoed repeatedly over the Missoula courthouse lawn over the weekend. The nationwide rally is a repeat of last year's demonstration in the early days of the second Trump administration. Then, officials were slashing the federal workforce and moving to gut funding for academic research. Attendees at this year's Stand Up for Science event said the damage from those actions has, in their view, been devastating.
I am outraged by the disregard for science and facts.
Clinical psychologist Allison Cobb of Missoula said she attended the rally to build community and build pressure on the Trump administration to embrace evidence-backed science. Cobb pointed to a new report by The Lancet that showed emergency rooms ordered less Tylenol after President Trump said it would increase the risk of autism developing in pregnant women's babies. Doctors say that claim is unsupported.
Like, it matters. They can't just say things like this and think that it has no impact. People's health is at risk.
Missoula's Singing Resistance group led attendees in science-themed songs to open and close the rally. In Missoula, I'm Austin Amistoy.
The Montana loophole continues under scrutiny in California. The Montana loophole, according to the California Department of Tax and Fee Administration, or CDTFA, is a scheme where buyers create out-of-state limited liability companies, or LLCs, to register their high-end automobiles to avoid paying California taxes and fees. In a Friday press release, the CDTFA, in partnership with the Department of Motor Vehicles in California, is, quote, targeting high-end automobile dealers and their customers through investigations and audits, end quote. CDTFA and the DMV are examining all sales made to Montana purchasers, not just those involving LLCs. CDTFA has identified close to 500 California dealers involved in more than 2,500 sales since 2023 to customers claiming to use the vehicle in Montana. These sales, many of which involve luxury or exotic cars, cost the state more than $10 billion a year in lost revenue. The California Regulatory Agency's press release singles out California's top offending communities, including Beverly Hills, Costa Mesa, Van Nuys, and San Diego. According to the New York Times, which ran a Monday article on the story, a Bloomberg tax analysis of Federal Highway Administration data found that in 2023, Montana was home to more than 2.3 million registered vehicles, but only 879,000 licensed drivers. According to the Times, that 2.68 vehicle-to-driver ratio is by far the highest among states and more than double the national average. A bill revamping the way Wyoming funds public education is headed to the governor following its passage by both chambers of the state legislature. The recalibration bill will increase spending on education and boost teacher pay. It also provides for more elective and specialist middle school teachers, but it will make class sizes a little larger and change the way the state measures enrollment. Riverton Senator Tim Salazar co-chaired the committee that crafted the original bill. He describes it as a compromise.
We will continue to work during the interim, the recalibration committee, but I will say that this bill fulfills our constitutional duty to fund education adequately.
The bill's passage was far from certain. The House killed its own version of the recalibration twice. The Senate, meanwhile, amended its version to gain support from teachers and school districts. The House made a few tweaks, but ultimately accepted that new version. The Montana State Billings women's basketball team is continuing its March Madness journey as they head back to Washington State for the NCAA West Regionals as the eighth seed. The Lady Yellow Jackets earned the trip to regionals in Ellensburg, Washington this weekend as the winner of the Great Northwest Athletic Conference Tournament. They became the first sixth-seed team to win the GNAC championship when they defeated top-seeded Western Washington 66-61 Saturday night on the Vikings' home court. They will play Friday, March 13th, in the first round of action against tournament host Central Washington University, the same team the Jackets upset in the semifinals of the conference tournament on Friday. This is the ladies' fourth consecutive trip to the West Regionals, the program's 18th appearance all time and the ninth under head coach Kevin Wooden. Tip-off time for the Yellow Jacket Wildcats game is still to be announced. 37 people in Wyoming died in the workplace in 2024. That's the latest data from the Wyoming Department of Workforce Services. Transportation incidents remain the most lethal. About half of the workplace deaths reported in 2024 happened during highway crashes, pedestrian vehicular accidents, aircraft incidents, and water vehicle incidents. By sector, natural resources and mining saw the most deaths. 2024 saw a decline in workplace deaths from 2023, but 37 is still on the higher end for the past decade. There's not always a direct relationship between workplace fatalities and workplace safety. The City of Billings and the Alberta Bear Theater remind drivers that today is another student matinee. A total of over 2,200 K-3 students from Billings, eastern Montana, and northern Wyoming will attend two performances of The Hare and the Tortoise. A social media post from the city advises drivers to expect extra traffic and a sprinkle of excitement downtown. If you can avoid the area, perfect. If not, please drive with extra care and patience. The shows are scheduled for 9:30 and 12:30 Tuesday morning. The performances are part of an Alberta Bear series of educational presentations for young people. That's The Worm for this Tuesday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.